8:15. It's time on a Wednesday morning to check in with Bill Hall, the real estate guy from Premier Homes and Properties, which sponsors this portion of the program officially. Here's Bill Hall. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Carl, and good morning, Alec. What a beautiful day we're going to have today, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a nice one, nice.
At least it's not freezing. It'll be cool enough.
That's right.
So, you know, we won't feel like we're in Florida, and that'll be good. So I thought it was interesting. I saw an article that the Wall Street Journal and Realtor.com had they put it together, both of them. They ran it. It was run in the Wall Street Journal, and it talked about emerging markets, and those are smaller markets usually that haven't been really defined. And for every time there's a survey out there, they always come up with a new handle for it. Well, this is the winter emerging market release, and
right.
Surprisingly enough, Johnson City was number 5 and Kingsport was number 7 in the ratings, and I thought that was huge. Knoxville was 14.
And
it's based on a lot of different criteria, and I don't know all of them, but I do know one of them is what the medium sale price of houses are in our in these emerging markets. And if they're below the average, which I think the average is like 400,000, and ours is like 250, so when they're below the average, they fall into the smaller markets, fall into a more desirable foundation for buying and living in these emerging markets. These are markets that are coming up slowly, you know, and growing. And we saw that through the pandemic, and we still continue to see it, but not at the same pace. And people ask me all the time, are prices going to go back down now that we're in a recession? And I says, well, no.
One can hope, though, right?
Right, one can hope. But, I mean, if they roll back at all, and they have slightly dipped down, I mean, we're seeing anywhere from a 1.5% to a 5% reduction in that in home prices. And that's only certain specific pockets of homes. Like, in a home over, say, $500,000, we're seeing a stronger, you know, maybe a 5% to 6% reduction in what they're selling for now versus what they were a month or two ago. But if the home is priced, say, between $150,000 and $200,000, we're not seeing much of a price change there. Maybe a 1.5% to 2% reduction at best.
I wanted to share this with you, Bill, because
sure,
this is one of those things that it's kind of depressing. I don't know if you do the Facebook, but on Facebook, every day they'll give you your memories on this date.
Yeah,
and that was the time that Kelly and I were looking for a house here in the area. And there was a place in Bristol, Virginia that was almost an exact copy of our place in North Carolina, about 2,000 square feet, had a huge, you know, basement that was finished. It was a tri-level, you know, and guess how much it was going for?
155.
155 back about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, oh, man.
Now, keep in mind, if you would have moved in that house, now, does Kelly work in Virginia?
No. That's okay. One of the reasons why we stayed away
from
Virginia.
You'd be paying Virginia state income tax if you had bought that house.
Yeah.
Because that would be your residence. And that would affect you about, what is it, about 4.5% or 5%? I don't know.
I don't know what
that is. But you know, so you people have to look at that sometimes. And sometimes that's adjusted in the value of the home. If you live in an area where, like, people don't want to pay the state income tax, but maybe you just take a little bit less for your house than if you lived in an area that didn't have state income tax, for instance.
Right.
And so that has to do with, you know, we talk about real estate, always the famous words are location, 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 but really turns into price, price, price based on location. Location, location is a factor.
The perfect location for me would have been
right
on the line of Virginia and Tennessee, so I wouldn't have to pay tax, state tax. But then I could go across the line to Walmart and do my grocery shopping and not get the 10%
thing. And you still can if you want to drive.
Well, yeah, if you want to drive. But I'm talking about right down the road.
And you save about 4.5%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's not bad. And for a short period of time, I lived in Bristol and did the whole line, you know.
Right.
Because you save fuel. Everything was cheaper, you know, on that side of the fence. But, you know, overall, the emerging markets, when you come full circle, are really good to look at, but not necessarily tell the whole story. They're just a snapshot of areas that are increasing in population, so despite the fact that we're, you know, our migration report is lower, you know, where people, some are migrating to an area as much as others. In our area, they're migrating to. And we're still running off the same wave that we picked up at the beginning of the pandemic, and it has slowed down greatly, but it still seems to be a wave because we're getting media attention like this. So when you see Johnson City number 5 in emerging markets, and somebody in California sees that, they say, let's check out this Johnson City place. And they say, they see all the stuff there is to do around here and our weather conditions and how inexpensive our property values are, in comparably speaking, and how inexpensive our cost of living is, comparably speaking, and they end up wanting to move here. Now, so some people can do that. It's mainly elderly people that are in their retirement stages of life, because the work, the people that were in a workforce that are working from home, a lot of them are going back to the office now. Over 50% are returning to the office. So it's mainly people destined for retirement that are looking to move here right now. And so we're seeing a lot of that, Carl.
Yeah. And you were mentioning earlier that the prices haven't really migrated too much downward here in the Northeast Tennessee area. Is that also a function of lack of demand right now? Are people still interested in buying homes?
Very much so. So demand, even though we're not near where we were at the peak of the pandemic, when people said, hey, let's move to Tennessee, they don't have any COVID. So when they did that, of course, it was a floodgate opened up. But right now, it's not like that. I mean, I think they say to the tri, we have about 34 people a day moving here from outside, or migrating here from outside the area. But you keep in mind, we also have, you know, unfortunately, we have a death toll, you know, that takes into effect. And we have people that have to move for job reasons, et cetera, out of the area. So I don't know what the net is between what moves here versus what stays here is.
Right.
But we do see it is an emerging market, and it has been for years, since the pandemic started, for sure. But they even talked about that pre-pandemic times, too. But in overall, our sales in this area, unit sales are down. In January, we were 33% down in units versus the same time last year. And so that speaks a lot. I mean, so the demand has definitely fallen off. But in some categories, there was such a strong demand that it hasn't totally taken the breath out of the market. We're just not seeing any upswing, Carl. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that. I think a lot of that, too, of course, is the uptick, the hard uptick in mortgage interest rates.
It makes it tough, Carl, when your people are looking at twice the payment, twice the mortgage payment that they were.
Was I wrong? Did I hear it had ticked down to 5 point something the other day?
It will. I mean, I don't follow them daily because it gets too crazy. Right. But it will. See, what the Fed's lending rate is really don't directly affect what the banks charge for mortgage rates. It's based on demand, supply and demand with banks too. The more money they have, the cheaper the rates are going to be. The less money they have, the higher the rates are going to be. It's just that way with banks. And so unless they have to go borrow money from the Fed rate doesn't really affect them. But they use that as a barometer to see how we're doing. But it's definitely, I mean, if I was going to sell a piece of property right now, I would definitely do it, because we still have, the breadth of the market is still strong enough to absorb it. Now, it may take an extra 30 days to absorb it, whereas before you could sell it, get it under contract in about 2 or 3 days and close 30 days later. But so now, this time, the average days on the market may be like 60 versus 35 or 40, which is what was happening before.
So, quick question, to follow up on the earlier things that we were talking about here, too, and I've completely forgotten the question, so move forward.
Well, it sounds good. So, I mean, I do that all the time.
Yeah, there you go.
But, you know, so basically, the market has slowed down. I mean, that's the best indicator I can give. On a local level and on a national level, we're seeing a slowing down. And, of course, the restriction in the market has a lot to do with the cost of affordability, the cost of money being so high. What people think is so high, I don't think it's that high, but they think it's high because they're used to paying nothing for interest.
Right.
And we're seeing that, but we're still seeing a strong demand in a lot of the lower-priced markets. The first-time home buyers still have not come all the way up to the plate because a lot of them can't afford it now. And we're seeing the national builder. We have one national builder in our area come in here, and I mean, they're programmed out of homes for years to build in our area. Of course, the quality is challenged in some aspects, I guess, according to the online reviews.
Now, if you see somebody that has, quote-unquote, one of those houses, and they're looking at them, and they're all about it, you, as a realtor, do you feel the need to go, This guy, you know, obviously you have your personal opinion, and like if it was your sister, would you let your sister buy this house?
I would tell my sister to please go online and read thousands of reviews from people who purchased those.
Gotcha. Homes. Okay. So you kind of, you go ahead and do your
Many
diligence.
Thousands of reviews.
Yeah.
So, and then make the decision.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the depth of information you can get from Bill. I said that is the depth of information that you'll get when you get in touch with Bill Hall, the real estate guy from Premier Homes and Properties, which does sponsor this portion of the program. How do folks get in touch, Bill?
Oh, that's easy. My office number is 530-7077. But the famous, easiest number to get a hold of me is the 423-946-7575. And I'd love to talk to anybody who has a question about real estate. Now I can help them. I don't have to sell something for them or sell them something. But if I can just help them, that's what I'm here for.
There you go. The number again, 946-7575. You say it properly. Go ahead.
946-7575. Yeah, that's definitely the number. I'd love to talk to anybody who has any questions that I can help with.
Very good. Very good. Bill Hall,